Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcomed, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
Father, you are a good Father. God, we praise you this morning because you're so good to us. Give us life, blessing us with good things. And we declare today, God, that you are a good Father. We declare today that you are a good Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen, amen. You can be seated if you would, please. Yes. Glad you guys are here this morning. You guys glad to be here? Are you?
Yeah.
Got a couple things we're going to take care of before we get to the preaching. Nice to see everybody. Thanks, man. It's good to be here. I missed you guys last week. Last week, some of you guys may have heard, I went to my friend's church, and it was his first Sunday that they ever had. It was great, man. I praise God that I'm part of a church that you guys allow me to be able to do that. It was a blessing to them. They had a good service, man. It was interesting. His wife have been to our church quite a few times, and it was funny because after service, we went out to lunch. We were talking, and his wife says to me, she goes, "You know, I want our church to worship like your church worships." She said, "You guys worship like you believe the songs that you're singing." You know? But you know, some people go to a church and they don't believe the songs that they're singing. You know what I mean? And so they're a young church. They'll get there. You know what I mean? Some of y'all didn't believe it when you got here. But once you do start believing it, it's good. They did have a good turnout. That's what happens when you come out of a church with 1,000 people. 100 people show up on that first Sunday. Where did Becky take off to? Where'd she go? You still got that little kid with you? Will you bring her up here with you for a sec? So Becky called me this week, and in our church we believe in baby dedication. And this isn't Becky's baby. This is her granddaughter. And you know, Becky's been such a wonderful part of our church for, gosh, 7 or 8 years now. Yeah. And we've helped her really minister to all of her grandkids. And, you know, we don't need to tell anybody's testimony, but the thing is that you can't really dedicate a baby that isn't yours, but you can pray for a baby that isn't yours. And so Grandma said, "Can we just pray over my granddaughter? Can we just pray that she's going to grow to know the Lord, and when Becky has her and she's able to be here with us, that she'll just feel the love of Jesus like Tristan and Lydia have, if we've loved on them throughout the years." Remind me her first name again.
Amelia.
Amelia, that's right. Why are you yawning? I haven't even started preaching. Let me pray for this baby real quick. Father, I just thank you for baby Amelia. God, I thank you that you've brought her into this world. And Lord, we just ask that you would just protect her and guide her. She's going through this life, God, and with her family situation, Lord, we just pray for protection and peace over her. God, we pray that you just give divine appointments at her school and around where she lives, God, that there would just be people that would love on her and be with her as she's growing up, God. Father, we just pray that one day she would get to know you wholly and completely, that she would give her life to you, and she'd live wholly and completely for you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. There you go, Becky. We love you, baby Amelia. You're a good woman, Becky. All right. A few announcements. This week, I sent out a text on Friday about the creation thing. Steve, you did a great job, man. Huh? Todd's family's here from Nebraska. This church is bigger than the whole state of Nebraska, so they are excited to be here. So if there's any complaints that you have about Todd, this is the day to bring them up. Just go directly to the Summer family and say there's some issues. No, I used to really have a problem with Todd's shoes, and then I met his dad, and now I know why. So I appreciate you upgrading from Velcro, at least. So it's good. I'm glad that, Steve, you did a great job on Friday night. It was beautiful, man. It was great. It was a good job. He did a talk on creation and evolution, and so we recorded it. It's up online, so you can watch that. It's really good. About the text. So, you guys came out with some candy because of that text, man. That bucket's getting filled. Keep filling up that bucket. And I know that some of you guys are really against Halloween, and I will tell you, I'm 100% against Halloween. I don't like that day at all. I think it's dumb. But what I am about is I am about Jesus. And so if people that don't know Jesus will come to my church because I'm giving out free candy, I will do it. And so, it's just a bait and switch, man. Don't feel bad about it. Come. It's fine. Dude, come for the candy, stay for the Jesus. So, buy candy, put it in the bucket, and then plan on coming on the 31st. It's going to be a good time. Come out. But also, if you didn't get that text from me on Friday, it means I don't have your number in my phone. And so on the back of the bulletin, my cell phone number is on there. Text me and say, Pastor Matt, I didn't get your text on Friday, and give me your name. Don't just text me and go, hey, it's me. Add me to the list. Because if you didn't get the text, I don't have your numbers. You want to put that thing in there. This week, Pastor John Butcher, he's a great friend of Faith and Victory, and the church is the Building Christian Fellowship down in Fairfield, California, and they're kind of like a sister church to us. They're independent, non-denominational like us, but they got the same spirit as we do, and Pastor John has been up here to preach at our men's retreats and everything else, and his dad passed away this week, and so Crystal and I are going to go down there. We're going to drive down. We're going to be back by next Sunday, but we're going to go down there and spend the week with them and minister to their family and be there for the funeral and those type of things. So there will still be women's Bible study on Tuesday morning, but there will not be the Revelation class on Tuesday night. And so everything else is business as usual. So all you people at the Revelation class are just going to have to, I don't know, pray for an hour or two or something. Was there any other announcements that I forgot? Yes. Yeah, if you're going to the women's retreat and you want a shirt that fits, make sure you give them your t-shirt order today. So you can give that to Pastor Aubrey. Where's she at? Right there, Pastor Aubrey, right there. Give it to her. I think that's it. Amen. Is Jay at work today? Miss that guy. Maybe he's watching online. That'd be great. Hey, Pastor Jay. All right, you guys ready for some good preaching today?
Yes.
Good. You should have gone somewhere else. Let's pray. Father God, we praise you. We thank you. We glorify you today in the powerful name of Jesus. God, we thank you for your word, that it's alive and that it's active and that it's sharper than any double-edged sword. God, we pray today that you would use this word to change us, to challenge us, and to convict us. God, we pray that we would not leave here the same way that we came. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 Did you know that God wants you to be confident? Well, I'm glad that like two of you said amen, because this sermon is for you. God wants you to be confident. God does not want you to go through this life broke, busted, and disgusted. He wants you to be able to know that through any circumstance, through anything that's going on in your life, that you can walk confidently in it, not because of who you are, but because of who he is. And I think a lot of times people don't realize that when you walk through life confident, life is just a little bit easier.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily change what you're going through, but it changes how you're going through it. And so if you're going through something this morning, my prayer is that this message would encourage you as you're going through it. If you're not, take really good notes. Give it to somebody who needs it, or just share the sermon online and tell somebody like, man, I think this is for you because I think you could use some confidence about what you're going through today. Amen. I encourage you to turn with me in your Bibles today to Philippians chapter 1. We're continuing our study, or you can turn on your electronic devices to do that. I encourage you to silence your cell phones so that I don't make fun of you in the middle of the service. Welcome to the people that are watching online. Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, it says, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So what's going on? So Paul is in prison, and I revisit that because I know there's new people that are joining us. Paul has been put in prison for preaching Christ, and so he's using this as an opportunity to send a letter to the church that he started in Philippi so that they could get some encouragement from the guy that's in prison as they're going through what they're going through in Philippi. And so he says, you know what? The chains that I have there in Christ, the people that are here that have me captive have seen it, and they've seen Christ, and because of that, people are able to go out and preach the gospel more boldly. The key verse for today is, having become confident by my chains. My goal for you today is that you would walk out of here looking at the chains of your life and be confident that God is still Lord over them. That you don't have to be concerned, you don't have to be worried, you don't have to be in a pit of despair just because you're going through something. So let's get into it. The first point is this. If you want to have confidence in your chains, if you want to have confidence in the midst of your chains, you've got to push the gospel. Because if we look at the life of Paul, specifically in this scripture, that's what Paul is doing. Paul is saying, you know what? I'm in the middle of this thing. I am, and this isn't figuratively speaking. He's literally in chains. And he says, you know what? If you want to live in chains, you've still got to use that as an opportunity to push the gospel. And I love the Apostle Paul. If you struggle with how you should live your Christian life and you struggle with what you should be doing in your life, all you have to do is look at the life of the Apostle Paul and do what he did. Live the way that he lived. Speak the way that he spoke. Do the things that he did, and you'll probably end up okay. See, Paul is a large influence on Christians. We as Christian people would say that we believe in Pauline theology. And what does that mean? That means that we follow the words of Paul. He was the first apostle. And so as he's being the first apostle and he goes out and he plants these churches and he writes these things, we look at how he lived his life and we take his words and we apply them to our Christian lives. Okay, so when we look at verses that he said before, or not verses they said, we look at the letters that he wrote before, we take those verses and we apply them to our Christian lives. And so if we're going to say a verse like, this is a verse that Paul wrote. He said in Romans 8:38 that I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, neither height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's a great verse, isn't it? It's beautiful. Like if you're feeling unloved, you're feeling separated from God, we read those verses and we feel God's comfort because we want to feel close to God, right? We want to feel his love. Paul said great things like that, and we follow what he said. We take that as a promise of God. We take it and we apply that to our lives. Ephesians 2:8-9. This is a central verse to the Christian walk. For grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works that anybody should boast. It's a central verse to the Christian faith that we apply to our lives. We do not believe in works-based salvation because of Paul. I mean, it's because of Jesus too, but Paul was the exclamation point. I mean, he made it abundantly clear. When we say as Christian people that we're supposed to love, we talk about verses like Galatians 5:13-14. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's Paul that said that. Paul said that word, and we appropriate that and take that into our own lives, and we want to live that out. Another central verse to Christianity that Paul said in Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Like, we own that. We tell people, say, man, if you want to be a Christian, you've got to confess Jesus. You've got to say his words. Excuse me, you got to say his name across your lips if you want to be saved. And so, when I read the book of Philippians and I see the things that Paul is writing, I equally want to apply those things to my life. I don't just want to read them for what they are. I want to say, you know what? Paul is a guy that everything he said can be applied to who we are in Christ. Amen? Yeah. And so I think it's important when we come to this verse that we have this umbrella of Pauline theology that kind of covers it and gives us context to understand that, like, Paul wasn't just merely saying this to encourage the Philippian church, but saying it as an encouragement to Christians. To say, this then is how you should live. Now, let me say this, a little side note here. This life that Paul had been living, the things that he had said, that's why he's in prison. A lot of people want to talk about Christian people being in prison when they're in prison because they should be in prison because they broke the law. A lot of Christians that are in prison are not there for preaching the gospel. They're not there because they're, you know, being demonstrative for Jesus. They're out there because they're doing things they shouldn't be doing. But Paul is in prison because of who he is in Christ. It's because the world told him to stop preaching Jesus, and he said, I'm not going to stop preaching Jesus. That's why he's in prison. Make no mistake, the only reason why Paul's in prison is because he would not shut up about Jesus. He's not there for breaking the law. So he's here in prison, and he's there, and he's literally in shackles for what he believed and what he preached. So he writes this letter to his friends in Philippi, who more than likely know his situation. They know why he's in chains. They know why he's in prison, because he refused to bend to what the world wanted him to do. Paul refused to change what he spoke and how he lived, even though it was going to put him in prison. It's an important point to note. Paul refused to have the world dictate to him the kind of life that he was going to live. So his words to this church was this. He says, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me, they've actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Paul says, I'm in prison, but it's a good thing. Because God has used this to push the gospel. It's such a different mind shift, right? I mean, you talk to people that get a hangnail and they stop serving Jesus. And Paul says, you know what? I'm in prison and I'm in chains and I'm glad about it because God is going to get more glory because of the fact that I'm in prison. What has happened has actually helped. It hasn't hurt. I'm in chains and it's a good thing. God is going to use these chains to push forward the gospel. Amen. Sometimes bad things are a really good thing. We always think bad things is bad things. When a thing isn't bad or good, it's how does this bring glory to Christ? Amen. I don't know if you guys heard this story this week. There was a guy that got bit by a shark. And I don't know if you've ever been bit by a shark. I haven't. It doesn't sound fun. Right? I mean, if you want to make a list of things that you don't want to have happen to you, I'd say getting bit by a shark would be high on the list, right? I'd be right up there with catching fire and drowning. Like, bit by a shark would be one of those things too. The dude got bit by a shark. He goes to the hospital to get sewed up after being bit by a shark, and they found a tumor in his back. They found a tumor in his back after he got bit by a shark. That dude was probably like, I am so glad I got bit by a shark. He said, how was your man? It was awesome. I got bit by a shark. Why are you so excited I got bit by a shark? Because they found cancer in my body because I got bit by a shark. And why do I tell you that story? Is that I'm not saying to run out and rub yourself in chum and try to get bit by a shark. I'm not saying that. I just said rub yourself in chum. That's what I said. I'm just saying that sometimes bad things happen and they can turn into really good things. And that it's a word picture that I want you to understand that as you're going through this life and there's things that are happening to you, you must look at them through the lens of God. How can you use this to further the gospel? See, I want you to understand that Paul is not some slack, man. Like, he's a guy that says, you know what, I'm in prison, I'm in shackles, and what happened to me is helping the gospel. And I know some of you probably like, man, he's in prison. How bad can it be, right? I mean, he's got cable television. He's able to play basketball. He's doing well. But I want to show you this. You can turn with me to your Bible to 2 Corinthians. If you got it, you can turn there. 2 Corinthians 11. I always like you to turn there with me because I want you to realize that I'm not lying when I say it. So I'm so glad you laugh at my jokes, man. It's funny. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, this is Paul describing what has happened to him in his life because of how he lives for Jesus, okay? And I just want you to note this. 2 Corinthians 11, I know I said 24. Why do you always put it up there before I start saying it? Then they start reading it and they stop listening to me. 23, we'll do 23, says this. It says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequently. In deaths, often. This is Paul describing his life. From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Isn't it funny? He includes deep concern with the churches along with stonings. Paul is a guy that experienced some of the most horrific pain and misery because of his belief in Jesus Christ. And you know what Paul said in the midst of that? There is nothing that is going to stop me from pushing out the gospel.
Yeah, amen.
I don't care. You can beat me. You can stone me. You can flog me. You can shipwreck me. You can do whatever it, you can do whatever it is that you think you're going to do to me to stop me, but nothing is going to stop the gospel going forward. This is why Paul said in Romans 8:28 that we know that all things work together for good, those who love God, who are those who are called according to His purpose. That's why Paul said that. See, we use that verse as a bumper sticker amongst Christians that have got hangnails and flat tires and say, well, you know, God works together all things for them who love Him or are called according to His purpose. But we don't believe it. We don't believe it because we haven't been stoned and flogged and shipwrecked and seen God use that for good.
Yeah, come on.
A lot of times we as Christian people, we live our whole entire lives trying to be as completely comfortable as possible.
Yeah.
And whenever anything bad happens in our lives, we don't even see it as a means to further the gospel. See, Paul saw peril through the lens of what it was going to do to further the gospel. He said, chains, bring it, man. This is just another opportunity to share the word.
Yeah.
You want to beat me? Do it again, because Jesus is going to get even more glory through this. Put something on me. I'm just going to let God get the glory even more. See, he wasn't so focused on his circumstances that he lost sight of who he was living for.
Yes.
Yes. We as Christian people are so circumstance driven. And I will tell you, and I'm just going to, hold on, I'm going to step in the flesh for a second. I get so sick and tired of people that let circumstance dictate their relationship with Christ. Dude, can we just grow up a little bit? Can we get a little bit farther past than I had a bad day and I stopped serving Jesus? Can we? Is there a point where we begin to not let circumstance dictate our joy? And I understand that this is a thought that we visit constantly, because I think that we gravitate back to a me-centered existence that focuses on the calamity of our lives. It's a constant battle, and I don't know if you've ever been around people, but people just do everything that they can to share the worst possible thing that's going on in their lives. It's like a one-upsmanship, man. Like, oh, that's nothing. Let me tell you what's going on with me. Oh, and then some guy will chow, oh, that's nothing. Let me, hold on. Then guys, they'll like take off their shirts and start showing scars and stuff. I mean, it's like this badge of honor. Oh, I'm going through so much. Can't even make it because everything that's going on in my life. What if we used our circumstances as a means to share the gospel? What if we used our circumstances as a means to share the gospel? What if when we were going through something, we thought, God, how can you use this to further the gospel? God, how can you use this circumstance right here, right now, the thing that I'm going through? God, how can I use this? I just want to use this to push the gospel. These chains, God, I want you to get glory through these chains. I want people to see you through these chains, God. I don't want people to see me. I want people to see you. And I get it, man. People will say, Pastor Matt, people need love and encouragement and prayers. They're going through stuff. And dude, I will pray for you. I will encourage you. But there are some people that all they want is prayer and encouragement. They don't want to give any out.
Come on. Come on.
The only time they pray is when they're not going through something, so they can just go through some more so I can get some more attention. Please, God, put something on me. I feel so lonely. Give me something. Everybody got too much. It's like, you can have some of mine. Some people just suck life off of everybody else. And the only time they worship God is when they go through something because they love the attention. I find it interesting that how people deal with the circumstance in their lives often reveals their spiritual maturity. Hey man, if that fits, I want you to wear it. You know, my friend, Pastor Butcher, his dad died this week. And, you know, me and him have been, I mean, we talk all the time. And so, you know, when I woke up Friday morning and I got on Facebook and I saw that his dad had died. And I because I've been walking through him and I know the family and I know what's going on, man, I was sitting there on the couch in the morning and I was like, man, praise God he died. I was like, that's awesome, man. And I wanted to type, man, praise God, Thomas Sr.'s dead. And I was like, man, nobody gonna understand that. I was like, thoughts and prayers and love out to the Butcher family. And I called Pastor Butcher and I was like, man, I just want to tell you, you know, I want what I wanted to put on Facebook because I was excited your dad was dead. And you know how Pastor Butcher's all, Matt, that's what you should have said. He said, man, I'm so sick of these people that think Christianity is a club. We got a living hope. He said, my dad is dancing with Jesus. And I was just like, woo, man. You know, it's funny because all of his family was like, ooh. And he's like, what are you guys crying about? My father's with the Father. Oh, so he's in his 80s, man. He did 3 tours in Vietnam. He gone on to be with Jesus. He lived life. That people die. 1 out of 1 people die. That's just how it is. And John's just like, man, I'm praising God. I hadn't felt this good in a long time because I know that my dad's with Jesus. You know, I just want to tell you guys part of this story. Is that okay? So I'm talking to him and I'll tell you, man, I do not believe in assisted suicide. I think assisted suicide is of the devil. Because what you do is you put yourself in the place of God. You say, do you know what? You say, yeah, see, now I'm finally getting Kevin to give some amen. And so, it really puts yourself in the position of God. It doesn't say, God, you brought me in, you take me out. And I love this testimony that John was telling me about his family because it's such an opportunity to see God. So the night that his dad, and it was clear that that he was going on to be with Jesus, and John was telling me the whole family was in the room, and John's kind of quarterbacking the thing because he's taking on the mantle, and so you know he clears everybody out of the room so his mom can be alone with her dad, you know, I mean with his dad because you know he's going on to be with Jesus, and folks, they've been married for 50 some odd years, man. I mean they've been together for a really long time, And John said, Matt, he goes, I never heard my mom pray this way in my entire life. He said, she was crying out to God and she said, God, would you just take him? Would you just take him home? He's ready. He's asked. He wants to be home with you, Jesus. Would you take him home? And that night he went home. God answered that prayer. God answered that prayer. You do assisted suicide, you take away the glory from God to be able to see God move in that instant. That's a testimony. You know, it's funny. Dead people are so funny. They, you know, and it's always this way. The person will never, if you've been around dead people, this is what they always do. They never go when the person they love the most is in the room. So mom went home to go get some sleep. John was left there by himself with his dad. He said his dad was talking to him before he went. He's like, John, don't leave me, John. He said, I'm not going to leave you, Dad. And he goes, hey, make sure you take care of your mom and make sure to pay the bills. So he says to him. And so John told me, he said it was on the side of the bed and he's got his hand and he's holding his dad's hand. And he tells me, he goes, Matt, he goes, I wouldn't have believed it if I didn't see it myself. He said, I looked up and he goes, and a mist came out of my dad's mouth. He goes, a mist came out of my dad's mouth and then he was gone. He goes, I stood up and I go, well, that's it. I'm going home, going to bed. Everybody's like, what are you doing? It's like, he's gone, man. The chariot has departed. There ain't nothing left, man. He's on his way. So anyway, that was a little side note. The point is this, folks. We need to ask God to use whatever situation that we're in to bring him glory. You know, this week, Thomas Sr.'s life is going to bring God so much glory. You know, we're going to be down there for the service, and a lot of people are going to be there, and God's going to get glory because of it. Folks, that was Paul's focus in his life. He said, how can I live my life to move the gospel forward? And I'll tell you, man, and can I just make it hurt for just a second? A lot of you here, that's not your life focused. It's just not your life focus. You don't live a life that says, how can I live my life to move the gospel forward? A lot of Christians, it's just not their focus. A lot of Christians' focus is how can I live the most comfortable, blessed life possible with the least amount of resistance or pain?
Yeah.
That's the Christian focus, man. If I don't have to experience any pain or calamity, or if I don't have to, you know, have anything go sideways, and listen, man, I'm with you. I love comfort. I hate pain. But isn't it a more godly prayer to say, do you know what, God? How do you want to use whatever's going on in my life to bring you glory? Yeah. And God, if it takes chains, give me chains. Yeah. If it takes pain, give me pain, God. I mean, think of the way we pray before we go on road trips. God, we just pray, warn angels and camp round about us and send us on our way. God, we pray that we wouldn't experience anything wrong, but you'd send us every single way. Wouldn't it be a more godly prayer to say, you know what, God? Whatever you need to do on this road trip to bring you glory, bring it. Whatever it takes, God, if it's a flat tire, if it's a missed appointment, whatever it is, God, put us in that situation because that's where we want to be, God. We want to be in the situation that brings you the most glory.
Yes. Yes.
Second point is this. You got to live the gospel, man. You got to push the gospel. You got to live the gospel. Paul says to the Philippian church in verse 13, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to the rest that my chains are in Christ. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
Paul's living and he says, you know what? My captors have seen me and they've seen Jesus.
Yeah. Yes.
The whole palace guard, he says, the whole palace guard and all the rest. I don't know who all the rest are, but the palace guard and all the rest saw Paul in chains and saw Jesus.
Yes.
He was under Roman watch, and from this verse he makes it clear, you know what? My captors, the palace guard, saw me in chains, and it was evident that they were in Christ. Now, what does this mean? Now, well, there's a couple things to mean. One is that, remember, Paul was in chains because of his belief in Christ. He wasn't doing anything wrong. And so when Paul says, my chains are in Christ, he's saying, you know what? I have these chains because I preach the gospel. So these chains are in Christ. It's because of who I am in Christ that I'm in these chains. And if I wasn't in Christ, I wouldn't have these chains. This is the precise reason why he's where he's at. Now, it's funny when people say that they are persecuted as Christians, and I just want to make it clear. If you're persecuted as a Christian, make sure it's for being a Christian, not for being a jerk.
Yeah.
Okay? You can't be a jerk and a Christian and then say you're being persecuted. You have to actually be living like Jesus and then be persecuted. You can't just be a jerk face and then come out and be like, man, I'm being persecuted. For being a jerk, not for being a Christian.
Yeah.
Paul's in chains because he's a Christian.
Yes.
Now watch this. Secondly, his chains that are holding him captive are in Christ, in that whatever bondage that he has, Christ is still Lord over it.
Yes.
They are in Christ.
Yes. Yes.
Christ is still Lord over these chains. Christ is still Lord over this bondage. Christ is still Lord over this prison. Christ is still Lord over my captors. My captors have seen these chains. They are in Christ. Through Christ, Paul is able to overcome his chains. He's able to rise above them and live out the gospel in spite of them. In spite of them, he can say, do you know what? I'm in chains, but I'm not going to let them hold me back. I'm going to rise above them and live out the gospel in spite of them. See, folks, here's what drove Paul. It's right here, okay? What drove Paul is that he knew that Jesus was Lord and wanted everyone to know it and accept it. That's what drove Paul. Paul knew Jesus was Lord and he wanted everybody to know it and accept it. And he didn't care who. He's like, this is my life, man. Take it or leave it. Chains, beatings, stonings, fine. Jesus is Lord. You want to throw me in prison? Jesus is Lord. Shipwreck? Jesus is Lord. It was his whole life. It was what consumed him. That's why, I don't know if you've noticed, The gospel that I believe and preach is an all or nothing proposition.
Yes.
You can't be halfway saved. You can't be lukewarm. You can't be somewhat married. You either have a job or you don't have a job. Like, you can't be somewhat employed. Either you are a follower of Christ or you are not a follower of Christ. And it is an all or nothing proposition that should infiltrate every last part of your life, 24/7, 365. Like, that's the life of Christ. There's no escaping it. You know, I spend a lot of time out in the community, and there's someone that I see on a regular basis. And I'm not going to tell you who it is, because if you go there, you'd be like, oh, I know who that is. So I'm not going to say it. I'm going to be really vague, but the point's still the same. Anyway, so this place that I frequent, I'm there probably every week. And man, I do everything that I can to build relationships with people. It's just what I do. Because every person I meet, I see them as an opportunity to either know Jesus or get to church. If they don't know Jesus, they need to know. If they don't have a church, they need to find one. Maybe it's Faith Victory, but if not, I'll whip out my phone and I'll find one wherever we're at, because you need to go to glory. That's where you need to go. So there's a person, and dude, I've seen this person over the last, year and a half, 2 years. I've invited them to church. They never shown up. Maybe one day. And what's funny is that every single time, and this isn't hyperbole, every single time without fail, I'm always Instagram. I'm like, hey man, what's going on? How you doing? And I always go, man, it's only 3 more days until my Friday. And I see him under, hey, tomorrow's my Friday. Hey, what's going on? Only 1 more day to my Friday. Their whole entire life, every time I've ever seen them, is focused on Friday.
Yeah.
Now, it's funny because they have a rotating schedule. So their Friday is never a Friday. Their Tuesday is a Friday, or a Wednesday is a Friday. But their whole life is centered around, like, I just got away from my Friday, or I'm moving towards my Friday. Like, I see them and they're like, man, I just got done with my weekend. Today's my Monday. That's their whole life. I'm like, so what else has been going on? Just 2 more days till Friday. And it's very clear to me, in this person's life, the most central theme and focus of their life is Friday. And I don't know about you, man. If the only thing you're living for is Friday, you need a new life, man. You just really do. You need a whole lot more to live for than just a calendar. You know what I mean? I mean, if you're going to live for a day, live for Sunday. But other than that, dude, don't live for any other day. Why do I share that story with you is that we as Christians sometimes don't realize that we have an opportunity to share what we're about every single day. When people ask, what's going on with you, man? Let me tell you what's going on with me. I was in church this weekend. The Holy Ghost fell and people got saved. Man, what were you doing last night? Last night I was on my knees before God praying for your soul so that you would know Jesus. I'm talking about a living boldness to say, do you know what? What is central to the theme of our lives? Because when we have those chains, it's an opportunity to convert our oppressors, to minister to them. When you got a bump, a bruise, a scratch, a scrape, you got a disease or a calamity, people are like, how are you doing? Like, oh. Or you'd be like, you know what? Jesus is Lord. He's Lord even over this. And yeah, I might be in some pain, but you know what? I'm not going to let it hold me back from living life, because I got as much time as I can get to tell people about Jesus. Where are you at? Using our chains for an opportunity to convince people that are oppressing us in the midst of our pains. Paul believed the victory that he preached. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said, and he believed it. The beaten, stoned, shipwrecked Paul said, thanks be to God who gives us victory. He said in Romans 8:37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I love Philippians 4:13. It's one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. He said in 2 Corinthians 4:8, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Folks, these are the words that Paul spoke and believed, and there was nothing that was going to stop this Holy Ghost-filled, blood-bought believer in Jesus Christ. He said, there's nothing you can do to stop me. There's no circumstance that can steal my joy, no calamity that can set me back. There's no experience that you can send to me that's going to turn me away. There's no event that's going to stop his faith. Folks, this is the faith of 1 John 5:4, man. I don't know if you noticed, this is your first time, the name of the church is called Faith and Victory. It's not called Doubt and Defeat. Where are y'all doing this, son? Man, we're going down to Doubt and Defeat. Hallelujah. looking to get a little bit more doubt and defeat. You know, I truly believe, and that, folks, this is a central theme to my Christian life, man. I do believe that God wants us to have victory in this life, man. I truly believe it. 1 John 5:4, if whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. See, when you have this idea to live out faith and victory, man, that's good. We should use that for something. If you have this idea that my faith is the victory over the world, there's nothing that the world can bring you that can steal away your faith. Yeah. There's nothing that can steal away your joy at all. When Paul said, so it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. Folks, listen to me. What would be the palace guard in your life, and what would they say about your chains? Yeah. Come on. Did you catch that? Yeah. There is a palace guard in your life that is watching your chains. What are they saying about it? Are they saying, man, those chains got him. Man, those chains got her. Man, it don't take much, man. You put them in some traffic and they'll stop serving Jesus. Yeah. Cut three of their hours and watch what happens to their joy. What would they say about your chains? Would they say that your chains are in Christ? If I went to the palace guard of your life and I said, hey man, brother, sister, how do they deal when calamity comes about them? They're like, man, it don't take much, man. I know, man, if the boss is mad that day, they go off the handle and they just join in with the rest of us. They say, man, they're only as good as their last weekend. If they had a really good weekend on Monday, you know that they got some victory in Jesus. But if they had a bad weekend, man, no victory. They're done. Would they say that you're only as good as your last health check? They say, man, if they're in good health, they're doing great. But bad health, no victory. Chains win on that one. Would they say that you're only as good as your last personal inventory of your successes or your failures? Man, when they're focusing on their successes, man, they've got victory in Christ. But, man, you say one thing about one of their past failures and they're just demoralized. They're done. They don't even have victory over their past that they've been forgiven from. Man, you just say one thing about what happened 20 years ago and they're done. Would they say that you're only as good as your last paycheck? See, it's funny. Some people have victory when they're paid well. Some people don't have victory when they're not paid well. It's like, here's where I am in Christ. Beginning of the month. Hallelujah. I still kind of love him. Oh, help me, Jesus. Yeah, come on. Jesus is still Lord on the 30th. Yeah, steak, chicken, ramen. Man, he's still Lord over ramen. Crack an egg in that thing, man. Put some egg in there and put some sriracha. You'll be just fine. Hallelujah. What would people say about the palace guard in your lives? Because the palace guard, watch this, folks. The palace guard watches over your every last move and is watching and seeing. Will they be stopped by their chains? Because I guarantee you that palace guard that put Paul in chains, they said, man, we're going to put him in chains. He's going to break. He gonna stop preaching that Jesus. We're gonna steal his joy. This is it, man. This is done. He's not gonna do anything else out of this. All we have to do is put him in chains. What would the palace guard say about your life? What they should say is that nothing will stop you. No devil can defeat me. No situation can stop me. You can fire me. You can hurt me. You can put disease on me. Ain't nothing going to stop me from serving my Jesus. Yeah. Nothing. The answer is to live a life that is fully submitted to the will of God in your life. Yeah. In such a way that you're not just along for the ride. Yeah. Here's the thing, folks. Watch this. I'm going to prophesy. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. Something's going to happen to you this week. Yep. I don't know what it is. But it's something. It's going to have something to do with a relationship. It could have something to do with a job, a car, a house. Something's going to cost you money. It's going to make you feel uncomfortable. You're going to feel bad. And you're going to have to make a choice. Is God going to get the glory through this, or am I going to stop serving him because of it? Man, can I just get in the flesh for a minute? I'm just sick and tired of people letting the tiniest things keep them from serving Jesus. man, grow up.
Come on.
Can you just move on a little bit? Can you just do an inventory of all the things that God has delivered you from in the last 10 years? Man, you're still here. Breathe deeply. He's going to see you through. Once you realize that there's nothing that this world can throw at you to keep you from serving Jesus, you're going to have so much more joy. You're going to have so much more confidence. Romans 8:31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? The problem is we forget what God has delivered us from and what we used to pray for. We say, God, deliver us. I'm praying, God, will you deliver me from this situation? He delivers you from that situation, and then you forget, wait a minute, I was delivered from this situation.
Yeah.
Say amen if you know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
You know, when I came back from Egypt, I remember we just had Gabe at the time, and when I came back from Egypt, we moved into base housing down at Fort Lewis, and it's funny, we hadn't gotten our personal stuff from, it was in storage in Texas, and so I had a 12-inch TV with the things with the tape. It's called a VCR. And the VCR and the TV were connected together, and we didn't have a couch, so we used the third row from our minivan and brought it into the living room, and we were sitting on there watching TV, and we had a folding table, and we had some dishes and paper plates, plastic chairs, and a card table. We slept on an air mattress, and man, life was good. Like, it was easy. Because what I was so excited about is the fact that I was with my wife and with my son. I didn't need any of that stuff. But then, you know, we start to live in that place for a while. I'm like, man, God, I need a little more room. Can I get a house? Can I get a lawn? Can I get a couple more bedrooms? Can I get a bigger TV than 12 inches? Can I get a bigger couch? Come on.
Yeah.
And then God gives you all those things, and you're like, God, I want a bigger couch.
Yeah.
I mean, don't you remember when 42-inch TVs came out and everybody's like, 42? What do you need that for? And then you go to someone's house now, they got a 55. And you're like, 55, bro? How do you even see it? You know what I mean? I mean, when I was a kid, if you had a 27, it was like, you got a 27-inch TV? Now you got a 65. Be like, 65? I got a 98, man. You got to come see it. And the TV's bigger than the room. You know what I'm saying? Sit out in the backyard and look through the window so you can see the whole screen. You know what I mean? I'm going to tell you right now, man, you need to quit saying, God, I'm not going to be happy until I have all this stuff I don't need and I don't need. And then get mad at God because he won't give it to you. I'm going to tell you right now, man, God does not care about you having anything that is plugged in or takes fuel to operate. God is completely fine with you having no phone. Your phone don't need to be smart. It don't need to flip. It don't need to take pictures. Get you a string and a can, man. You'll be fine. God does not care. God also does not care if you walk. I'm still looking for electronics and a car in this Bible. So you should just praise God that you got a bucket with a heater. You know what I'm saying? Praise God, I don't have to walk today. Hallelujah. You know what's so funny about us and our cell phones? Man, we're so just like cell phone. Like, you go to the store and you're driving 2 miles away. You're like, I need my phone. What if something goes wrong? You pull over and you walk back to the house. 20 years ago, we would drive for states. Me and Crystal would drive 12 hours without a cell phone. My kids are like, how did you do it? Well, kids, with big faith and trust in God, we drove all the way from Texas to New Mexico believing that we would make it. Did you know that vacation isn't a word in Scripture? Neither is, much to my chagrin, the word hot tub or jet ski or airplane. We get mad when we can't go to the Bahamas. And I guess 2,000 years ago, probably 99.9% of people lived their whole lives never going farther than 100 miles from their home. And then we get upset because we can't travel the world and do all these other things. And God's like, man, I don't care about you traveling no world. Live for me. They were satisfied with the things of God and not the things of this world. Folks, Paul is saying to you, to us today, whatever chains that you have, show Christ in them. Show the rest of the world, man, I don't care what's happening to me. Jesus is Lord. Man, doesn't seem like you have the nicest clothes. Well, yeah, Jesus is Lord. I'm clothed, ain't I? Man, I wish you had a nicer car. I wish you had a nicer face. Jesus is Lord. Jeez, man. Chains of sickness, chains of bad employment. You know, people get so upset about a job. Man, if I just had a different job. Maybe if you had a different attitude. Chains of bad decisions, chains of unforeseen circumstance. Folks, you can still show Jesus every single day in the midst of your horrible circumstance. Say to the world, these chains are in Christ. Third point, speak the gospel. It's funny, when you read portions of scripture slow, you get a lot more out of it. Verse 14, Paul says, I love this man, and most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Did you catch that? Most. I want to know who that most was, man. Who were the guys that saw Paul live his life and they still weren't enough to be convinced? I mean, most of them were. Most of them went out and preached the word boldly after that. But there's a few that were just kind of rock kickers, kind of like, man, I'm not too sure about this thing. They weren't convinced. They didn't become confident by Paul's chains. I find that funny, man, that most of those guys, that some of those guys that were in the most weren't able to be motivated by Paul's chains. See, I think that the ones that became confident were able to boldly speak the word, but those other guys, why weren't they bold? Did they not believe it? Were they not inspired by it? Were they not able to look at Paul and say, wow, man, Paul got through it. I'll get through it. I want to speak boldly. See, here's what I think happened. I think the most crowd expected Paul to crack. They expected, oh man, there's going to be a point where he's going to stop. There was never a point where Paul stopped. Never a point. He never tapped out. He never cried mercy. He never said, that's enough. He said, unto death, even unto death, death, where art thou, sting? Because to live is Christ and to die is gain. Nothing could break that guy. See, some guys thought he wasn't going to endure. Now, some guys knew that Paul was going to endure. And when he didn't crack, they were confident. They were like, you know what? If Paul can endure, I can endure. If Christ can be preached, I can preach. They spoke with boldness and without fear because they knew that even if the worst happened to them after preaching, they would still make it because Paul demonstrated it to them. Amen? That's where Paul can say, my confidence, their confidence increased because of my chains. And what does it mean to you? Folks, you have got to preach the word with boldness. Be without fear. Know that God is with you as you go. This is what Jesus said in Luke 10:16. He who hears you hears me, and he who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. What does that mean? Nobody's rejecting you. They're like rejecting the Jesus inside of you. And God knows that, and he's going to take care of it. Now here's the thing, man. You don't want to be bold. You want to be comfortable. You want everybody to like you. And maybe you don't. You're like, man, I don't want nobody to like me. Well, then make sure they don't like you for Jesus, man. Yeah. Not just because you're a jerk. Like, get some Jesus in there. Here's the thing, folks. We are living in a time that requires us to be bold in what we believe.
Yes, we are. Yeah.
This whole being quiet thing with the Christians has not worked well over the last 30 years. It has not produced a very good thing. And so the time is now. Like, and I'm not saying you have to go out there and be a jerk about it. I'm like, just open your mouth a little bit, man. Speak up for God a little bit more than never. Say, you know what I mean? Because I guarantee you, if you looked at your week, every single week, there's a door that cracks open where someone says, man, tell me about the God that you serve. And you're like, oh, no. Just like the world, man. You're just like the world. You're afraid to proclaim the God that lives inside of you. You're afraid to be bold in what you believe. And listen, man, there's a wrong bold and there's a right bold. Don't go to work tomorrow Monday and be like, hey, man, everybody, I just want to tell you, you're going to hell. And you too, Mr. Boss Man or Mrs. Boss Man, you're definitely going to hell. And I'm just here to boldly proclaim the gospel to you. Call me up tomorrow. Pastor, I did it. I walked in boldness and I got fired today. And I'm going to pray for you and I'm going to be like, don't do that again. Don't go to work tomorrow telling everybody they're going to hell. But you know what? You'll be at work tomorrow and someone will say, man, how was your weekend? You're like, man, Sunday morning, there's this tall, funny-looking bald guy and you should have seen him go. Man, he was going in. He was going for it. Really? Tell me more about that. Well, I don't know if I ever told you before, man, but I used to be on this. I used to be here. I used to be a dirty, rotten scoundrel, man, and God changed my life. dictates everything that I do. Dictates everything. I remember one time I was at, the office, my old job, and they didn't know I was a pastor, and we were there on Monday morning, and we're talking about our weekends, and dude, every time, like, what'd you do this weekend, Matt? I was like, well, my wife's out of town, and so, you know, I had the kids, and went to church on Sunday. My boss goes, why'd you go to church on Sunday when your wife is out of town? It's like, man, this is my life. It's what I do. Acts 4:31. When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. With boldness. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You do not have to fear the world, man. Don't fear the world. The only thing you need to fear is fear God. And that's not a fear. It's just like a reverent fear of God. Here's the deal, man. That's why I love, like, social media. If I wasn't a pastor, I wouldn't be on social media as much as I am. But I see it as a tool. I just see it as a tool, man. I don't know if you guys like this sermon today. I think it's pretty good. You know, it's going to be on Facebook later on today. Just share it. Just share it and say, man, you guys probably need to overcome some stuff in your life. Listen to this sermon. It'll change your life. We have events that are coming up, and we have them on Facebook. We say, oh, I hate Facebook. I love Facebook. Why? Because I can sit there and I can invite all 1,795 of my friends to a trunk or treat. And like, I live in Alabama. I'm not coming. I'm like, I don't care. I'm still inviting you. And people say, man, well, I don't want to offend my friends by inviting them to the trunk or treat at my church. I'm like, who are you kidding, man? If your relationship with somebody is so flimsy that you can't invite them to a candied event at a church, find new friends. Okay? Find new friends, because I guarantee you, I get invited to clubs and I get invited to record release parties. Man, you're going to get invited to the creation talk. You're going to get invited to church. Get invited to where Jesus is. Leave a business card when you do business with someone. Now, mind you, if you don't tip well, do not leave a card from Faith and Victory, okay? Don't go in there sending your food back four times, being a jerk, and then leave a church card on the end. Get a card from another church. Leave it from there, but don't leave one from Faith and Victory, man. Don't do it. Invite everyone to everything, man. This is who I am. If you don't like Christians, then you don't like me, because this is who I am. I have nothing more important to do than to live my life for Jesus all day, every day. I invite everyone that I know to church all the time. People get tired of it, and I'm fine with that, man, because there's nothing more important to me in my life. You speak what you know and what you believe boldly. You know what's interesting? The world never has a problem telling you what they think. And then they look at the Christians and we're like, we don't say a word, man. Speak up. If you see someone, talk to them. Because they're definitely going to be talking about what's going on in their life. Now, some of you might say, Pastor, why do I have to share the gospel? Because someone shared it with you. Might have been your mom or your dad, or... You know, I always thought it'd be interesting to do an ancestry.com with a spiritual ancestry. You know what I mean? Kind of watch how that thing went back and see how it got to me and how this crazy kid from Ballard got saved. Yeah. Hey, man, would you close your eyes? Would you bow your heads? Now listen, just give me a couple more minutes, folks. If you know something about the Seahawks game, don't you dare sell it to me. Say anything to me, I'll lay hands on you. But if you don't know Jesus this morning, man, I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to him. And here's the deal, man. God wants to become real to you. And some people got upset with me because I don't say the right words. Well, Pastor, you got to have them to say this, and you have them to do that, and confess this, and repent that, and born again this. This is the bottom line, man. Either you're living for Jesus or you're not. Either you've been forgiven from your sins or you haven't. And so if you want to be forgiven of your sins and live for Jesus, I know that God is more than powerful enough to reveal himself to you as you cry out to him. If you've never made that decision today, I want today to be your day. It's really easy, man. Just raise your hand and say, man, I want to give my life to Jesus. Is there anybody here that wants to do that? Praise God. I see your hand, brother. Is there anybody else? right now, as you're calling out to God, just say in a small voice, say, God, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Help me to live for you. Holy Spirit, come upon me, and he will right now in the name of Jesus. He loves you so much, brother. He brought you here today so that you would know him wholly and completely. Now, maybe you're here this morning, you got some chains in your life. I am not praying today for your chains to be broken today. What I'm going to pray is that those chains will be used for the furtherance of the gospel. You can pray for deliverance next week, but this week, why don't you say, you know what, God, this week, why don't you just use what I have to bring glory to you? Whatever it takes, God. Whatever it takes, God, use these chains to bring glory to your name. Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy in our lives. God, we thank you that you give us confidence in our chains, God. Father, we offer them up to you today in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.